Ladies and gentlemen, in the next 20 minutes, I would like to briefly review the concept of glucose control, briefly go look some details about the old studies, and come up with a new aspect, which is glucose variability. And upon of these two facts, then build in the rationale to go for the computerized glucose monitoring system. You know very well this meta-analysis has been published last year. It nicely summarizes the different studies that have been published in the field. We have the Vandenberg studies up here, which clearly showed some positive effect, particularly the study in surgical patients, and a more recent study, nice sugar study, that went exactly on the opposite way, that makes the sum of those studies not showing any kind of benefit. And one of the things that arise then where it started to be discussed, what are really the differences between the studies? I think one point that we cannot ignore is the fact that there are different populations. Just if you look at the mortality in the surgical patients of Vandenberg study, it was around 9%. And if you look at the mortality in the medical patients, it was 39%. That dealing with a different population, and is this population was also the focus of the studies of the RECEPT and the NICE sugar studies. And the other thing which was different between the studies were the range of glucose that were aimed for in the control groups, allowing higher glucose levels in the two Leuven studies, and a little bit lower glucose level in the VSEP study, and clearly lower blood glucose level in the NICE sugar study. I think this is an important thing to consider, particularly if you know that hyperglycemia may be harmful as well. And these are the details. These are the Vandenberg study up here, 2006, medical patient. You see the control group had, on average, blood glucose level, which were around 160, and the Bronco study, VSEP study, had blood glucose level which is much closer to 200, around 180. And maybe already this difference make one of the difference between the studies, increasing mortality in the control group, and therefore affecting the end of the study. And if you look now to the NICE sugar study, it's clearly lower. Around 140 was the control group compared to around 108 in the intervention group. And now if you compare what was the variation between the two groups of blood glucose level using this graphic representation, you clearly show that on average the mean, as I said, was 142 for the control group, but with part of the patients going into the level of the interventional group, which was around 80 to 110, and even go some of them being lower and being at danger to get hypoglycemic events. But on the other part, you see a large proportion of the patient that went up to very high blood glucose level that may be harmful for their outcome as well. And another point that makes a difference between the studies is how the participants to the study or the centers participating to the study fitted to the protocol. And it's clearly that in the Leuven Sugar 1, the control group, they didn't match the protocol as well as they did in the interventional group. And this may have an effect on mortality itself. Therefore, introducing a protocol, trying to control blood glucose level, has already an impact on the outcome of the results of the study. And if you look, what do I mean when I talk about blood glucose variability? And these are the blood glucose profile in two patients where you had here the target blood glucose level was in the control group 157, and here on average it was 136. But you see that around this average level, there are huge variation. We've up glucose levels every day during the stay in the ICU above 200, clearly. And also here you get up levels to above 300. On the other side, you have also point where clearly the blood glucose level went below the threshold of hypoglycemic event in both type of studies. Clearly, if you lower your level here, you have more hits below the line of hypoglycemic event than if you aim having on average higher level. But this huge variability has an impact on blood glucose level. We know since many years the hypoglycemic event harm to our patient. But what about the other part of the curve, the hyperglycemic event? And if you go back to the literature, you really nicely can find what is the odds ratio in relationship to the blood glucose level that may patient have. And it's clearly, you see, already in the range between 140 and 200, you have a significant increase in the odds, in the risk to die because of elevated glucose level. And this increases exponentially. And interesting, you try to cope these results together, you come up with a U-shaped curve, showing clearly that you have an optimal part where mortality, risk of mortality is the lowest. And if you go down the direction of hypoglycemia, mortality will increase. But if you go on the opposite side, the mortality will increase as well. And interesting whether do we have the same profile in diabetic patient as well? And this was looked in the study too. And you see very nicely in a non-diabetic patient, the odds of loss of control of glycemia was even higher than in diabetic patient. They get some insulin and try to control, where you were more keen to keep their blood glucose level at the lower level than in control, where you don't care about this glucose level. And you see the clear difference between these two groups. Thus telling us, this study, that controlling glucose using insulin may be has a beneficial effect, and that we really have to avoid very high levels above 100 or 200 milligram per deciliter. What are the effects of hyperglycemic event? It's clear that hyperglycemia leads to oxidative stress. And it's go into the previous talk a little bit. And hyperglycemia has a clear effect on the endothelial function, leading to an endothelial dysfunction induced by causing a dysfunction at the level of the sorbitol and fructose accumulation at the level of the endothelium, to having an increased formation and advanced glycolization of product, to have an activation of the protein kinase C and nuclear factor kappa, beta, and have an exosamine pathway flux increased. And these things may add to a different level and leading to an endothelial dysfunction that may be crucial for your oxygen supply to the different organs. And this variability, changing from higher levels to very low levels, which is represented graphically in this part of the slide, is clearly associated with an increased mortality. And we know that very well, because every time that you exceed levels above 150 or 200, you get a hit on your endothelial dysfunction, and clearly has been shown that this is related to outcome of your patients. The variability of blood glucose has also been found recently that has an impact on outcome and on mortality in those patients where there have been investigated quite extensively on ICU mortality as well as on hospital mortality. And in both group of patients, the blood glucose variability had an impact on the odds ratio. And interestingly, if you look a little bit more closely, this impact, this increase in odds ratio was quite similar to an episode of hypoglycemic event. It had two episodes of hypoglycemic event, it was even higher. Thus, variability may affect also your outcome in the patient in the ICU. This high incidence of variability was more, and the impact of the variability on outcome was more pronounced, or is more pronounced in patients who are more sick. And you see here that blood glucose variability is compared to hypoglycemic event, and with neither of those episodes, and you see that the patient who didn't have that huge variability or didn't have hypoglycemic event were less sick than the other two group. Thus, is something that we have to pay attention in those most sick patients within our ICU. So this is, I think, the rationale, the variability of the glucose level, and trying to avoid hyperglycemic as well as hypoglycemic events are enough rationale to try to implement, to bring into the URSSU a closed loop system, where you try to monitor blood glucose level, either measuring blood glucose level in blood glass machine, bringing those things into an algorithm or in a computer, which tell us and drives, ideally, your insulin pump that goes and controls glycemia in the patient. There are companies now looking at having this loop really closed, that you don't have to measure yourself blood glucose level, but this is directly fed into the computer itself, and so you close completely this loop. The algorithm that is within these computer systems bases on the absorption of insulin, the metabolism of insulin, that the principle, they look and estimate the parameters of last 8 hours, then try to make a prognosis or a trajectory, a trend, to calculate the trend for the next 4 hours, and then try to set the insulin pump not to allow having either hyperglycemic or hypoglycemic events. And this has been studied in a few patients already, and you see here just an example of one patient without a computerized glycemic control and with a computerized glycemic control. And it's clearly by eye you can see for exactly the same level, targeted 157, the variability in a using a computerized system was significantly reduced. And this has impact of your outcome in your patient, and unfortunately those studies are now lacking, but the result will, I hope, appear soon. Then you see this slide shows you that such kind of computerized system may be applicable in different level of ICU, looking at the same patient population. There are post-cardiac surgery patients in 3 different ICU. Here, standard care, but the standard care was hourly blood glucose measurements. We know very well that not in every place blood glucose measurements were done hourly, but despite that, you see huge differences between the blood glucose level, between the ICUs, and huge variability during the time course. And this was clearly pacified, if you want to say it like this, in this computerized control system, where in the most of the time, blood glucose level were within the target level that you set it up in your computer. And this system that was a prototype during the past year has been now introduced into a computerized system that is very looks like a perfuser with the computer down here that will be introduced into the market very soon. And there is some experience with these systems that drives 2 things. You have your enteral and parenteral nutrition that can be driven through those 2 pumps, and this is the insulin pump that driven how much insulin you have. And in the computer here, you introduce your blood glucose levels, and this helps you to optimize your system. This graphically represented here. You have here then glucose-insulin interaction with the nutrition that you provide to your patient. You have here the insulin dose optimizer that is on the back of this calculation unit. And currently, those systems are looking to have blood glucose measurements in the step of 4 hours. It's clear if you ideally will have to measure blood glucose only every 4 hours, that reduces significantly the work of your nurses in the ICU. And this is how the system of the computer looks like. You introduce your blood glucose level, which is then displayed here. And you have here, down here, where you are during the course of the time. You see this patient start with a blood glucose level out of the range, which has been set here. And then slowly the system brings into glucose into the range and maintains it into the range. Depending on the variability of the glucose levels, the devices will suggest you to do more frequently or less frequently blood glucose measurements in order to achieve or maintain your goal. The system has clear alerts, and that can be appreciated by come up, either if you go into a dangerous hypoglycemic event or if you introduce blood levels which are not really able to the system. It has a self-control, a self-system that helps you to keep up with missing error. And this system has been recently tested in a septic population in Austria, in one single center. This is the computerized system. Up here you see again the blood glucose level are within the range that has been chosen for those septic patients compared to the control, to the standard of care, where this range was not achieved, the patient stayed much higher and the variability was significantly higher. Using the control system, you see down here, there was one hypoglycemic event with a blood glucose level below than 2.2 millimole per liter. There were nine advices of the device that would be that were overruled by the nurses. It's not that much. And the time between the different measurement of blood glucose increased during the 33 days and went up to 340 minutes between the measurements. I think if, and this is also our experience, if nurses get more and more familiar with the system, you can increase this time interval even to 3 or 4 hours. And so having a clearly decrease in workload. In summary, what a computerized system should allow you to do for your patient? First of all, I think in general you can say I go for even a little bit safer side, and I aim to have a range between 80 and 160. It's clear if you say between 80 and 160, we will have at risk of some population which is below 110 to have hypoglycemic event. But thanks to computerized system, you can go pretty safely within that area and make your patients profiting from that. On the other hand, you can adapt your range depending on the populations that you have. For example, if you have cardiac surgery patient, maybe according to the Vandenberg study, you can even achieve a lower range and you may have some profit. But in other patients, like a brain trauma patient, that where you know that if you achieve too lower blood glucose level, that may hint and has disadvantages for the brain itself, then you can adapt your range at the higher level. And clearly, I have shown you that using a such system, you can significantly decrease blood glucose variability. So you have also some safety aspect that you can introduce into things. You control hypo and hyperglycemic event. You have a nearly closed-loop glycemic control system, and so you can save time for more direct care to the patient. Thank you very much for your attention.